This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
The Holy Spirit continues to set hearts on fire with the love of Christ and inspire people to bring the good news to a world that is aching to hear it. Welcome to Blazing the Trail, a weekly show dedicated to the church's mission of evangelization. Now, here's your guide on this grand adventure, Catholic singer, songwriter, author, and speaker, Miriam Marston.
And welcome back to Blazing the Trail here on Mater Dei Radio. My name is Miriam Marston, and I'm so glad that you're tuning in once again as we continue to reflect on the beautiful work of the Holy Spirit in our world today. And as I promised in the last episode, I'll be sharing the second part of my conversation with Father Boniface Hicks. Last time, he shared with us a bit of his story and how he came into the church and joined the Benedictines. And this time, we'll be turning our attention to his new book on the hidden power of silence in the Mass. And there was a bit of an amusing behind-the-scenes moment during my interview with Father Boniface. So as he was trying to walk us through the different interior movements that can unfold during the Mass, specifically when we're leaning into those times of silence, when God is preparing us and we are not necessarily speaking, but God is speaking to us. So during the conversation, I started to hear my doorbell ring, and I knew it was my niece at the door, and she knew I was at home, and she definitely tried the doorbell more than a few times, but I was on a Zoom call, and I couldn't answer. And I tried my best not to be distracted, but I couldn't help but smile just a little bit as Father Boniface was discussing the importance of interior silence while my doorbell is ringing repeatedly. And it was just an amusing reminder that it can be challenging to, as Father Boniface said, to leave the world at the door when we enter the liturgy, when the world is sometimes just ringing the doorbell. So it took a fair bit of concentration and intentionality to simply focus on the conversation at hand. And sometimes that is what we have to do at Mass. We acknowledge that there is some noise rattling around in our soul, but by the grace of God, we can return, and quite literally to turn back to what is before us and let ourselves be drawn into the sacred moments when God is pouring into us and working through us, so that when we are sent forth from the Mass, we can joyfully proclaim the gospel with others and bring that presence of Christ to an often noisy and busy world around us. So to get us started, I'm sharing a song by the group All Sons and Daughters, and it's called Rest in You. And why this song? Well, here in Western Oregon, Archbishop Sample has emphasized time and again how Jesus changes everything. And I think of that when I hear the last part of this song, when we hear the line, which is referring to God, "You cannot change, yet you change everything." And that line is repeated a number of times, as you'll hear. So thinking about that, in light of my conversation with Father Boniface, I was considering how it takes a kind of resting in, abiding, which requires a certain stillness and openness, not to mention trust, to truly let the one who does not change, who is and has been and will be forever, to let him change everything. And I think this is one of the great hopes of the Eucharistic revival, that we rediscover the Lord's steadfast and unchanging love and how he seeks to truly transform us in every way through the power of that love. So please enjoy the song, and I'll pick up again with Father Boniface Hicks on the other side of the music.
Who is priceless is your love. Our praise will rise above. Your peace like a river floods over us. Restless until they find rest in you. Our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. This is where my hope lies. This is where my soul sighs. And I will always find my rest in you. So full of
for those who are just tuning in, I am speaking with Father Boniface Hicks, who's a Benedictine monk of St. Vincent Arch Abbey in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. You serve as the Director of Spiritual Formation and of the Institute for Ministry Formation at St. Vincent Seminary. So on that note of prayer and the liturgy, I'd love to shift now and learn a little bit more about this book that you have recently released. It's on the hidden power of silence in the Mass. So Father Boniface, what inspired you to write this book and why now?
Well, in this year of Eucharistic revival, I was interested in getting it out the door for into the hands of the faithful. I started it a couple of years ago with some articles on the silent prayers of the priest in the Mass. So our listeners may not be aware that the priest prays quietly 9 different times during the Mass in words that are not meant to be heard by anyone except for God, but they're words that are provided by the church. So that's an interesting witness in itself, that the priest has his own prayer life, which is not just saying things for people to hear, but saying things even quietly that people can't hear so that God can hear. And so it began with those series of articles. And then it's really been a longer passion of mine. I mean, as I mentioned, my whole Catholic life has been in a monastery. And I've come to really love the Mass and love the Liturgy of the Hours. God has provided me the health and opportunity. So since my ordination, I've had Mass every day without exception. It's 20 years now as of yesterday.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I love the Mass, but I also love prayer, and I'm always paying attention to how my personal prayer interfaces with my liturgical prayer, and trying to do that in a way that's, not just going through motions, not just recreating a drama, not just choreography, rituals, and words, but yeah, is really an interior participation in this liturgical prayer. And how can we do that more, more fruitfully? And it's a challenge for everybody. Nobody goes to Mass and is just sort of caught up in ecstasy for an hour or something. We're struggling to more or less to enter in more or less at the many different points in the Mass. And there are really a number of different movements in the Mass. And so I explore five different interior movements, really, and they correspond with a kind of silence, in the sense that these are times that the faithful are not saying anything. So there may be sound happening, but there's no speech happening on the part of the lay faithful. And so, but just because you're not saying anything doesn't mean you're not doing anything, and especially in the movement of your heart. And so what are those interior movements that correspond with the different parts of the Mass? So that's kind of the real desire of the book, is to help people pray the Mass, and especially to pray the Mass when they're not saying anything. And so in that sense, to pray the silence of the Mass.
So just to dig a little bit deeper, when you speak of an interior movement, is this something where someone might be moved to praise, to petition? Is it that type of movement, Father? Could you possibly explain what that interior movement might entail?
Yeah, well, looking at the different parts of the Mass, and to think about it in terms of our encountering Christ. So I describe five different movements, the first being a silence of preparation, which I call ascetical. So it's kind of making room. This is the kind of thing we need to do when we get into church. We need to make room for the Lord. Let the noise settle, clear out the distractions, create space for God, settle our nervous systems, ground ourselves a little bit, and leave the world at the door as much as reasonably possible. Although there are some petitions and things that we need to bring in with us as well. And so it's kind of preparing ourselves to enter in. The second movement is during the Liturgy of the Word, where we're listening. And we're listening not just to any words, but to the proclamation of God's Word, which the Church is convinced carries the power of God Himself. It is the voice of a Father who comes down to show His love for His children. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit, who speaks through the Scriptures, and it's the voice of Christ, who is the Word and is present whenever the Word is proclaimed. So those are all paraphrases from the Second Vatican Council. And the Church is really convinced that the proclamation of the Word produces an encounter with Christ in souls. And so how do we listen in a way that allows ourselves to encounter Him and really receive His Word? Yeah. And so I go through that. And then, having encountered Him, what's the adequate response? Well, that moves us into the preparation of the altar and making an offering. So a kind of sacrificial silence of self-offering. How do I respond to love with love? How do I give my whole life to Him? And there are a number of ways that the liturgy teaches us how to do that, from candles and cut flowers to incense and the silent prayers of the priest, the mystery of water and wine, and even the prayer of the three young men in the fiery furnace that the priest speaks before he then also washes his hands and invites the faithful into that moment in the preface. But
yeah.
So that sacrificial offering, which then lifts us to a movement of adoration and a contemplative silence where we adore him and receive him. Again, without words, we behold him. And now the silence is a silence beyond words. So whereas the original silence of preparation was making room for words, the second silence was a silence of listening to the words. We then, offering ourselves with love, are moved to a silence beyond words.
Wow.
Words can't capture what's happening at that point. And then we settle into a silence of savoring, a silence that really opens up to eternity, a silence after communion, a silence after Mass, where we rest in what we have encountered in the sacred mysteries.
Wow, that's really beautiful. Do you have in mind someone reading this book who has been attending Mass for a while, or would it be okay for someone who's even new to the Mass, Father?
I think it would be very appropriate for somebody who's new to the Mass. I speak with, I don't explain some basic things. You know, I talk about the Roman Missal and the Roman Rite, and I quote from the general instruction and some things like that. I introduce some of the texts that guide the Mass. So someone might need some basic pointers about what it is, and some initial exposure to the Mass. But it certainly is very appropriate for those who have been going and are familiar with the Mass, but will not be familiar with all of the things that I talk about, because we just haven't paid a lot of attention to a lot of these things. So it'll be an education for people who have been going to Mass every Sunday for 50 years. I think for everybody, the invitation to the interior participation. I just gave some of the content of these different chapters to a convocation of priests. And so we also can be reminded of things that maybe we know in the background, we vaguely understand, but even to read them and hear them is renewing and intensifying for us.
Yeah. Yeah. And I imagine that looking at the Mass through this lens and seeing this deeper participation and silence and this interior movement, hopefully that can even spill over and translate into one's, you know, daily life and life of prayer. I know not in the same way, because it's not the Mass, but those same principles of incorporating silence and making room for God, is that reaching too far, or is that part of the hope?
No, that's absolutely true. From the preparation, which is really the art of recollection, how do we gather up our interior and make ourselves present? And I draw on some psychological things, like I mentioned, you know, grounding ourselves, settling our nervous system, you know, this is part of it, but that certainly translates. And then the way that we listen and some dynamics of listening, how we allow the word to encounter us and remember the presence of God, ways of offering ourselves, making a sacrifice of our lives. And then certainly being drawn into more contemplative prayer where we allow words to take us as far as they can go, and then we leave words and images behind into a place that there is more love than thought, and the love supersedes what words can express. And then certainly learning to savor, and even quoting things like the writings of Conrad Bars, who talked about the way that we need to learn how to take in the world around us, to savor it, to allow the senses to be stimulated by beauty. So I talk about some of those things. Certainly there are a lot of things that could translate beyond the Mass.
And do you address at all some of the reasons why it's become increasingly difficult perhaps to invite and accept silence in our own lives?
Yeah, especially in the first couple of chapters, I just observe how busy, how noisy the world has become. You know, things like Well, even what we're doing is already countercultural. The standard for television is that you never have one person talking for more than 15 seconds or it becomes boring. Wow. Entertainment has really reduced our attention span, and we have to fight against some of those trends. And that's why having the time of transition, getting to church early, allowing our hearts to settle. I use the image of a snow globe, you know, where you shake it up and it's got little flakes in it. And there's no way to get those flakes to stop interfering with the image other than just holding it still. And we really have to learn how to hold still. And then it does settle. Our nervous system does settle. Our attention does settle. And if it's not settling, that's usually interesting to look at. And I talk a little bit about that, what things to pay attention to then, what's not settling. But it's a noisy world. And sometimes we have noisy masses too. And that's why I say, on the one hand, there are prescriptions. And I just said this to, you know, 70 priests the last couple of days, hoping to exhort them to better behavior in terms of allowing the silences that are required to be there. It's not optional. Yeah. There are some silences that are mandatory and yet get kind of run over. But even when our masses are a bit noisy or our priests are a bit hasty, there's still a way to create that space within us. I also have reflection questions at the end of every chapter in hopes that it could be a book study and facilitate that, and also some practical exercises. Things like, you know, let me challenge you to come 10 or 15 minutes early to Mass for the next 4 weeks. How does that change your experience? And, you know, if you try it and it doesn't, then you can be honest about that and share that with your group. But I have a feeling if you try it, it's going to help you. The exercises will help you and the reflection questions will help you to engage the material.
Well, I'm sure they will. Where can our listeners learn more about your work, Father Boniface?
Certainly my website links everything. So Father, you have to spell out Father, F-A-T-H-E-R, Boniface, and you have to spell Boniface right, B-O-N-I-F-A-C-E .org. So fatherboniface.org links everything. And then the book is available through Sophie Institute Press. And that's that brings the most money to the author and not to Amazon. So we always appreciate that. But wherever you want to order, it's fine.
That's great. We'll make sure to link to those places in our show notes for sure. We have a couple minutes left. I always like to ask my guest if we can land on a note of hope. Where have you seen signs of hope and encouragement and the Holy Spirit at work in the world around you these days?
Well, I could say the Eucharistic revival is a real sign of hope for me. I asked Bishop Cousins to do the foreword. He's been the head of the Eucharistic revival. I really, really appreciate him and a lot of things that are happening in Minnesota. He's the Bishop of Crookston and formerly of Minneapolis, St. Paul. Seen some real signs of life there. Also through the Encounter Conference, I just made a mental movement. The Charismatic Renewal is alive and well in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and the Encounter movement is really remarkable sign of growth. Also related to Damascus that we have out here in Ohio, a profound youth movement that's having the kind of impact that Steubenville Youth Conferences have continued to have for decades now. And I think those are real signs of hope. And then I've had the blessing of meeting a lot of people in your area in the Archdiocese of Portland and seeing the Holy Spirit at work there. And the St. John Society I found very impressive. And then a number of our students for spiritual direction formation, like yourself at the Institute for Ministry Formation, just been very moved by the development of spiritual direction, the hunger for it, and then the willingness to be formed and to offer spiritual direction. So anyway, number of signs of hope in those places in the church.
Father Boniface, thank you so much for your time today. May God continue to bless you and your ministry. Thank you.
Thank you, Miriam. You as well, and your listeners.
So in that famous passage from the Gospel of Luke, when the two disciples encounter Jesus on the road to Emmaus, it's interesting that we don't hear that their minds were buzzing with information as the Lord spoke to them, or that they were rushing to scribble something down in their journals. Both of those things are perfectly fine, by the way, but rather the story tells us that their hearts were burning within them. And I thought of this when Father Boniface spoke of the silence of savoring as we rest in what we have encountered in the sacred mysteries. I really appreciated his insight here, that to savor these moments with our Lord results in more love than thought, as he said. It is love that sets the hearts of the disciples burning. But we don't have to be jealous of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. We too can encounter the Lord through his word and his true presence in the Eucharist at Mass. And one of the things that we find in the Mass is that it prepares us for the very atmosphere of heaven. And I sometimes imagine that the heavenly life will offer a vision and a reality so magnificent that we can't find the words to wrap around what we're seeing and experiencing. And so what we're left with is a heart burning with a wordless love and wonder. And perhaps the very silence of heaven will be more beautiful than the most sublime symphony on earth. So my prayer for you all this week is that you take some of what Father Boniface shared in this interview and bring it with you to the Mass, to let God really move in your heart during the course of the liturgy, especially during some of those more in-between moments when you don't have any particular words to say and you might feel like you don't have much to do. That could be precisely the moment that God is going to do something. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, my name is Miriam Marston, and I hope you'll join me next time as we continue to reflect on what it looks like to live as missionary disciples in our world today. Until then, stay well and stay close to Christ. God bless you all.
You've been listening to Blazing the Trail, a weekly show dedicated to the Church's mission of evangelization. For more information on Miriam Marston and her work, plus an archive of our past shows, visit us online at MatreDayRadio.com or download the Hail Mary Media app. Blazing the Trail is produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio in Portland, Oregon.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through MatreDayRadio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.